Recording. Two modalities.
Welcome to the Unified Endurance Podcast. And welcome, new footwear, Rob Jones.
Thank you.
We made a thing of you buying a lot of shorts. So you've now moved to Birkenstocks.
Yes.
And you found yourself a set of Lime.
I don't think I buy that many shorts, in fairness. These are lime green.
Magnolia with a tint of green.
Lightweight Birkenstocks. The reason I bought these is because I thought somebody had stolen my Crocs that I love fondly from the coffee run. And they hadn't. Hannah had hidden them under the bed. So now I have a pair of Crocs and a pair of lime green Birkenstocks.
Which actually reminds me, last week we were chatting about the rain coming in through your house.
Mm.
I remember I said, did you close the roof? And you were like, yeah.
I'd not closed the roof.
And how long have you been living in that house?
9 months. Yeah. So every time it rains, the whole upstairs floods. And for fuck's sake, a stupid house. These are really badly built. It's because the roof was open.
Brilliant. Just thought we'd start the show there, mate.
Thanks for that, mate. Thank you.
Your new Hyrox professional career taking off.
Yeah, I have the badge patch that I carry around proudly.
Fresh from track this morning, mate. Your legs back? How are you feeling? We did a strength session together yesterday.
Did a strength session. Actually, it's the first time I've used, I think, my hamstrings in a strength session for a few weeks, and they are very, very weak. And they felt the fast 400s this morning. I actually did the session that the athletes did this week, which I haven't done in a few weeks. I've been doing 1K reps and getting ready for that Hyrox race, doing longer stuff, but back to the shorter stuff today, and it was nice. Nice to do short reps with short rest and then a longer block of rest before going again. Recovery.
Yeah. You said something interesting to me after you'd finished. You said about, you know, how your hamstrings were feeling after doing strength.
Yeah.
What did it feel like as you were going through? Because the set's great, right? You're doing 400 at 10K, 400 at 5K, and then 400 at 3K pace. So it's getting quicker.
Yeah.
With 40 seconds rest between.
That's
so
right.
You can actually feel quite a lot of difference in your run form.
Definitely. So the 10K and the 5K, well, the 10K, I felt like I was almost slowing down to hold, to get to that pace. I wanted to go a bit quicker. So I had to just relax into it. The 5K was a really nice effort, and that felt probably the most comfortable of the three. And then the 3K, I probably ran it a bit quick in all fairness. It just felt like I was pushing really quite hard, and the form was dropping to try and hold that pace or get to that pace.
Now, how do you know your form's dropping?
Just felt really, really inefficient. And I felt like it's almost like you have to think about your form. And every time you think about it, it changes. And when you don't think about it, you feel it slipping again. So that to me was a sign that it was not going well.
Yeah. And there's certain things you feel.
Yeah, I always felt like I'm overstriding to try to increase the pace as opposed to putting more power through the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Probably because my hamstrings are so fried.
Frazzled. Frazzled hammies.
Yeah, good session.
Yeah, we were in Rocket X's.
Rocket X's.
What are you going to wear for Xterra?
Oh, I don't know. They've changed the course, haven't they, from what you ran? Slightly different.
I don't know. Have they?
Are you sure? Jeff was telling me today in the changing room that the course is slightly different.
Wow.
Maybe more elevation. I don't know. I'm torn between going a non-trail shoe, because you said it's not that technical, and the Challengers, I think, maybe. So if it's non-technical, I'm going to go for Mach X, an old pair that are a bit trashed anyway. And if it's slightly more technical, I will go for the Challengers.
Challenge, not Tecton X.
I don't own a pair of Tecton X.
No way.
That is not an option in my repertoire.
No way.
You'll be Tecton?
Probably, I think. Yeah. Now you've talked about course changes, I might have to have a look. But based on the course last year.
And we're just getting in your head.
Tecton X. I hope the swim's the same.
What was the swim? Was the swim round a corner?
Jump off the back of a ferry.
Yeah.
And then, you swam to like this channel, and then you had to swim down the channel, take a right, like a genuine right turn, down another channel. And then you came out where all these like boats are parked, and the sun's right in your eyes. So you can't see where the final boy is.
Yeah. So goggle choice is important.
Yeah. And you boys on a Monday are choosing, I don't know what you've been doing with your goggle choice. There's only one choice for me.
You recommended the goggles in the first place.
Yeah, they're great. I'll be wearing those. You'll have changed goggles three times before you get
those. I might go with a snorkel mask.
Yeah, optional. Optional. It'll be fun anyway. The bike will be That's the bike's what you need to worry about with Xterra, mate.
Yeah.
Just going full gas. You've had it serviced. You're ready.
I've had it serviced, but I can't use my fourth cog. So 3 or 5 is what I'll be choosing.
Mate, we're doing a bit of a triathlon themed show. We were just in Muscat last weekend for Muscat 70.3. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that and a little bit about the upcoming PTO schedule, which just looks so exciting. But before we go there, I thought we've had some good shows recently. Today's a bit more of a catch-up show. You and I are chatting, no guests. So I thought good time to chuck people back. If you're new to listening to the show, I've picked out 3 episodes in the recent history of our library that could be worth going back to and listening.
What are your top 3 then from the most recent that we've done?
Episode 200.
Episode 200.
Guaranteeing success in endurance training.
How to guarantee success in endurance training.
It's a pure hook line, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pure hook line. It's one of the things.
How do you guarantee success in your endurance training?
We got a video sent to us about the problem with modern podcasts. Did you watch that?
I did. We don't do adverts.
No, we don't. Well, we do kind of for Hoka.
We don't have Athletic Greens.
No, we don't. We don't think we don't get paid for anything.
I mean, yeah, we don't get paid for it. Maybe that's where we're going wrong.
But the guaranteeing success in endurance training is nothing to do with the actual workouts.
Mm. Yeah, we tried to avoid that because we could tell you how to train, but it's not really about that. It's everything surrounding that, which is where people go wrong.
I mean, one key word. So if you're interested in that, head back, listen to show 200, Guaranteeing Success in Endurance Training. 208, which is the first show we did of this year, Process, Performance, Outcome.
Yes.
Now, interestingly, last week we went for a walk, and one of your things on there was you just wanted to be better.
Yeah.
It kind of went against this model of process, performance, outcome, which I'm absolutely fine with because everyone can do things their own way if it works for them. But interestingly now, we're in 6th week of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Could be more than that. Coming into the back end of February anyway. How is for you being, as your goal of being better, how has that been? What's it been like going towards that?
Well, you weren't happy with just be better. So you sent me away to expand on areas where I could be better and how I could be better. So I guess I had the outcome goal of being better and you sent me away to look at the process part and the performance part of that.
Mm.
And so in certain faucets, I would say it is going well. And in certain faucets, I'd say it's not quite going so well.
But what about let's talk about the process and the performance of that process goal, which is what that show is around, wasn't it? Did you find that more useful or was it easier for you to just say be better and sort of play it as you went day by day?
I guess there's a few ways. There's whenever I start writing things down, I went through rabbit holes of where there's so many places that you can be better. So it's almost like be better is a cop out, if you like, without being too specific. And so I take small sections of that be better and go, okay, maybe for the short-term goal is to focus on this area where I want to be better. What does that look like? What is my process? How am I going to measure it as a metric? Is it my training? Is it family life? Is it supporting Hannah, supporting Heidi, whatever it might be? Is it coaching? How I'm going to support a certain type of athlete towards a certain type of goal? And then writing it down and then almost having a little checklist of things that I do each week to get towards that outcome. And when I get to that, then reevaluate what's the next one I want to become better at while still then maintaining elements of the, if you like, the initial one.
And you can go as deep or as, well, not deep, but maybe as basic or as complicated as you like with it, right?
Was the example you used was, I think, sleep. You used one of them, going to bed on time, how to get more sleep. And I think it was it fat loss and shopping list you came up with?
Yeah. Body composition.
Body composition, that was it.
Yeah, I think interesting show. If you've maybe got to this point in the year so far and you're finding that some of the things that you set as goals at the start of the year, maybe it's a good time to go back, listen to that and set out process and performance measures to get the outcome that you set down that you wanted. Interestingly, I realized, I mean, this is so basic, right? But we moved sustainably to stopping using plastic bottles for water at home, right? So we got a filter on the tap, which then meant that I had to find a water bottle to be using.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So I have a good 750 insulated one. But what I realized was I was actually getting dehydrated th- through my days, which I kind of never had that problem before. I used to drink 3 1.5 liter plastic bottles every day, and I knew that my hydration was covered.
You finish it, you start a new one, you finish it, and then you've got the third one, you finish it, and you're done.
So I was like, instead of just saying, okay, I need to stop being dehydrated, I was like, right, actually now I need to, I realized that drinking 3 750 ml bottles obviously wasn't enough, right? Because it's nearly...
It's half.
Yeah, it's half. It's a liter and a half less in my day. So I went and found a bigger bottle and I make sure I drink 4 of them a day, and suddenly I'm more hydrated again.
Do you find, now here's this is a bizarre question. What I find with these bottles, you drink less, I think, because you can't see how much is left in your bottle. So a plastic bottle's see-through. Mm. Do you think you drink less because your bottle's not see-through versus a see-through bottle? Where you go, oh, look, there's only a little bit left. I'm going to finish that and refill it.
I could see why that might happen, but no. I think I drink less because there's less in the bottle. And so it just means getting up more to refill it more, which it wasn't doing.
So I'm looking at my bottle right now. I'm thinking, how much is in that. Have I just filled it up? Have I drunk half? I can't remember.
If you can write into the show and guess, you will win the bottle. But that's a real basic idea of how that works, and obviously you can extrapolate that onto much more complicated goals for it. The last show that I thought would be good for people to listen to if you're new to the show is 209. So process performance outcome is 208. 209 was our good friend Hamid Al-Ghandi, who came on to talk about achieving happiness through endurance sport. He's just such a good guy.
Yeah. It was, do you know what? Everything he said was very, going back to the goal thing, it was very, very simple. His metric for success was very, very simple, but it brings him so much joy because it's so simple.
Yeah.
I know there's obviously a lot of stuff in the background, but how he breaks it down is very, 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 very good.
And he won't mind me saying, he's had quite a bad knee injury the last couple of months. Sort of old injuries coming back. He'd had surgery on both knees and he had some cartilage problems, and he did Muscat 70.3 on the weekend just gone, but he was in no way what you'd say PB shape, because he's had quite a lot of time off. And before the race we were chatting and we just said, like, what's the goal here? And it was, for him, it was about just being present within the race and swimming, biking and running, because it's what he loves to do. And the last thing we said was, just go to the race and just be yourself. You know, don't try to be the PB athlete who's laser focused and not taking in any of the atmosphere and not looking around. And we were standing on the exit of the swim at the start, and he comes out and he takes half his wetsuit off and there's a shower to go under, and it's on video, and he just does this like spin with his arms open like he's enjoying a shower and then goes off into transition. I'm like, that is him, that's Hamid being himself. And he had such a good day on the run. He was joking and laughing, and it's like, that's how to get the best out of yourself to achieve happiness within a race, rather than just being frustrated that you're not going as fast as you want to, or you know, you're trying to force something to happen, which you just see a lot of people doing. Instead of just actually enjoying the moment.
I think he's got one of the happiest race photos from the last one. We used it for the podcast cover, didn't we?
Yeah.
Was that a man 74?
That was it. Yeah, that was Xterra. Yeah, it was.
Or Xterra, that was it. He was very happy in that
exactly.
race too.
Yeah. That's a good one to go and listen to. But obviously there's a whole, I mean, if you get to that one, you've got 208 episodes before it that you could listen to if you're new to the show. So
definitely.
Go ahead.
I've got something that for people that like watching running videos and want something to watch that's not on Netflix, it's not on Amazon Prime, it's on YouTube. There is a cracking series. It's not new, I guess maybe it is new, but it shows the elites working out. It's completely unfiltered, it's really raw, and it's called Track All Access. Have you watched any of it?
No.
Oh, so good.
Who's that? Who is it?
It's a mixture of pro athletes, and it shows their training sessions. It shows you mid session. They've got cyclists running around. It's all the behind the scenes stuff. It's just in the face, raw, unedited
footage. Who's put it out?
The I don't know, it's like track all access. It's who's the coach? Graham Blanks. Is one of the.
But it's not a Sweat Elite.
No. It's they call it, that's the, I guess the
track all access.
Track all access.
Search it's the track username. All access on
search
YouTube.
Track all access, and they've got 44 videos up at the minute. The highest viewed one has got, I think, 100,000 views in 2 weeks.
Wow. What do you think you, why do you like watching videos like that?
Because I like to see how hard they work in training.
Why? What does that make you feel?
Just inferior.
Do you like feeling inferior?
I just, you look at it and you know, you see like Kipchoge runs his 159 marathon and you think that is fast. And it's not until you see these guys running and how much they put into training. Like you, someone can tell you how much they train. You go, yeah, that's great. But until you see the videos of them training, you don't really necessarily comprehend how hard they do train. I know you guys have seen it in real time in Kenya, running around the track in a 10 and probably go, Jesus, that the stuff they do is mind blowing. But seeing other people do it through YouTube, I guess, is what I like doing as well.
Does it motivate you then?
I think so.
Yeah.
And it makes you think, oh, I'd love to try that session. Like a 3x12-minute threshold. You think, oh, actually, we do that on a Thursday, but they do it very Friday. Differently. They do it threshold.
Yeah. That's funny, isn't it? Like day in the life videos or like Sweat Elite stuff where it's following the athletes. Like they're some of the most viewed videos because, I'm interested to know what different people get different things from it, right?
And I think people, their interpretation of what their threshold is versus these guys actually running their threshold pace. You see them finish the session versus how the majority of people would finish a threshold session or their perceived threshold.
Mm.
Watch them do it and you'll see what threshold should look like.
You mean they finish looking like they've worked harder?
Yes.
Probably have on a volume intensity standpoint. Nice. Good curveball there, mate.
Gordon Mack, there it is. So the channel is the latest project from Gordon Mack, who has spent the previous decade working at FlowTrack and Miles Split.
Ah, yeah, FlowTrack, good.
There we go. He also hosted the FlowTrack podcast. So he does weekly workout videos.
There you go.
His pro athletes.
Get swole on YouTube.
Get swole.
We went mountain biking in Oman last week.
You did.
I say we. You weren't there, unfortunately.
What was your percentage of mountain biking to hiker biking?
On day one, it was terrible. Percentage wise, that would be quite funny to work out. Don't know.
Who was in charge of route planning?
Kamut. I blame Kamut. We had a nice coastal route planned out. And then, to be fair, Kamut said that we could cross on a path that was suitable for mountain biking. And it certainly was not.
Did not exist.
we even bumped into some lady on the beach, right? This secret beach, it's called. She was walking a dog and we were like, can we get through here? And she's like, yeah, I think it'll be fine. 3 hours later, we were still getting through on donkey trails right on the coast path, looking into the seawater. I mean, it was a beautiful hike, but it would be nicer to do it in trail shoes.
I think you say coast path and people are picturing, you know, like the Cornish coast with well-marked paths.
Cliffs.
And loose rock the path does not exist.
And like bushes that cut your arms up. And
you're in mountain bike shoes that aren't the best for grip with mountain bikes on your back.
Yeah, mountain bikes on the back most of the time. Testing.
Testing.
You know, a good example of why being strong for life is important. I even pressed the bike over my head at one point to clear a bush. And I thought Jonesy would be proud of me there.
You've got DOMS this week.
The first overhead press I've done this year. But then day two, the Friday, we rode part of the old, I think it's called the Trans Hajar. It was an old race back in 10, 12 years ago. And our good friend Ed Menzies gave us the route files a while back. And we did one of the routes off that, which is about 75Ks, 80Ks from where we camp. And it was unreal. We hit these roads. I think it was on our Instagrams, but these just... And the Tour of Oman had just been there. That's how good these roads are. So they use it in the Tour of Oman UCI race. Just beautiful, flowing tarmac, a little bit up and down. And then we turned off and went on this like pretty lumpy, rocky trail bit before getting onto some incredible gravel stuff. The only bit, we did a little bit of walking because we had to come down this like basically cliff face where we actually screwed up both of our wheels. But other than that, it was one of the most beautiful routes. So it's almost like the day before was like, get through this and we'll reward you with this. And so we did. We had a great, great reward on that day. And Oman is just incredible for, I think, mountain biking. You can go there gravel biking, but you're a bit safer on a mountain bike. You got wider tires. You know, you've got good suspension. You can pretty much ride through anything. You can get a little bit more creative with your routes, but we have a new route rule now, is if you can't drive 4x4 down it, then we're not going to go down it on the bike.
Why is that? Purely for safety?
I think there's a safety element, mate. And then it's just an enjoyment factor. Mm. Like, who enjoys getting off their bike to walk with it, really? Whether you're on and off. Whereas, you know, if it's a Jeep trail, you probably can ride it, or you can learn
and then be able to ride back if you hit a dead end.
Yeah, if you hit a dead end or something like that. But just camping out there as well. The weather was really good for camping. And yeah, it's just a great place to be. It's so quiet, like no traffic around. Second night, we were sat and we were doing the washing up, because we have a washing up bowl with us when we camp. And some guy drove over to where we were camping, which is like, I don't know, about 400 meters off the road. And he's like, saying hello in Arabic and things. And then he just goes, sleeping? And we were like, yes. And he's like, okay. And he just got in his car and turned and went. We're like, wonder why he wants to know. But yeah, it's just so remote, so quiet. We've done it for the last few years. And then we head into Muscat on the Saturday to watch the 70.3 race there.
Yeah.
Which, the more I go to that race, the more I believe it's the best race in the region for 70.3.
How so? What makes it the best?
It's definitely the most beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it's also got an element of having fun to train for it, because you have a bit of climbing. It's about 730 meters of climbing on the bike course, which is quite a lot for this region. You're going through some old fishing towns and villages, and the history to Oman is actually really interesting if you care to learn about it. But knowing that you're riding down through some of the old towns like Mutra and Rui, and what they used to do from a trading standpoint, and the fishing and the dhows, and you have no idea how far those dhows have traveled, where they've been off the coast to various different fish they've caught and things. So you ride down through there, and then you climb. So you climb up, and then you drop down into the coastal village, and then you obviously have to climb back out of it, and then you go up this long highway, like headwind normally, with a U-turn into a tailwind. But it's like the contrast is like through old fishing villages, then up onto highways that were never used to exist. Like, that's modern day Arabia, if you like. And then you spin around and you come back in towards Muscat, and then you head out on the run. And the run looks pretty simple on paper, but it's hard. Like, number one, it always gets hot there. Always feels hot in Muscat. And then, but the run is three laps, and it takes you out around a park, and then you come back in towards the sort of modern part of Muscat, if you like. And you do so 3 7K laps. And I like that, because obviously as spectators, you're seeing the runner. You've got a chance to see them every lap twice. And if you're on, we were on bikes, so we get to see them more than that if we made the effort to. So it just creates this really nice atmosphere. You're never really on your own. Like, some run courses you can get quite lonely, especially if they're out and back. But being a loop, and you're running like almost like a lollipop. So you run side by side with people, or you're running opposite people as they're running back towards you. It just creates a really nice atmosphere that's fun to be part of. And I think being fun to train for is also a key part to it as well. So the guys who do the best there have had the best training blocks going in, because they know that the bike requires a little bit of skill, because obviously you've got hills to run up and down. The run is a really good run to, because it's three laps. You obviously want to go one lap, you know, moderate, one lap a bit quicker, and one lap quicker again. So you're training for this specific pace drop, which is why I think it's best 70.3 in the region.
Yeah, just I have the run or the bike course up now. It's nice that it's just not it's not an out and back course. You go up the high, you go down the highway, like you said, at from the old town down the highway on along the new superhighway, if you like, and then back in. But other than that, it's all pretty much along the coast, isn't it? Down to Old Muscat, down to Arbustan, and then back in.
I think they've been doing the race since 2018. So it's got, they know what they're doing there as well, which is quite nice. Bahrain for sure is the one if you want to go your fastest, go to Bahrain. But if you want to have the most fun, I believe, and you want to sort of take in a true race in its sort of natural habitat in terms of where we are in the region, Muscat 70.3 is the one.
Is it a busy race?
It didn't used to be. It's getting busier for sure. I would say it's around 1,000 athletes.
Okay.
Yeah, which is another nice thing about it, I think.
It's not jam-packed.
Yeah, it's not jam-packed.
So you can almost feel at some stages like you're racing on your own.
Well, on the bike for sure, but in the run, no. The run, you're always around someone. But there is another race coming to the region which could top it.
Here we go.
Could top it.
I'm actually on the email list for this race. Notifications.
We got to enter it together, mate. Come on. Yeah, I think it's if you're in the region, you're into triathlon. It's probably no surprise or not news to you. But if you're not in the region, we have a PTO 100 kilometer race coming to Dubai, 16th and 17th of November of this year, which is big because maybe we're not allowed to say too much, but the course will be immersive of Dubai.
Immersive?
Maybe it's immersed in Dubai. It's going to be such a rare opportunity to do a triathlon in the location that they're planning to do it in. I think it's a lot of people are very excited for this in the triathlon scene, and I think it's very, very justified because it's going to be maybe a once-in-a-lifetime chance, which is cool. Dubai's really pushing for this. And like Burj to Burj, first year that they've done that this year, it's a pretty cool race. Mm-hmm. You're running on roads that you normally wouldn't be allowed to.
Yeah.
I think Dubai Marathon is pretty fun, the original one, for the reason of you get to run up and down Beach Road, which you can do, but obviously you're on the pavement, the fact they closed the roads. But this is another sort of piece into the jigsaw puzzle of being able to really touch the ground of, you know,
in the heart of Dubai.
Yeah.
Because I guess the old, if you like your old 70-year-old, your old Ironman Dubai course wasn't all that great in terms of the route, right? You started
at
the beach and you cycle into Al Kudra, cycle back and you run up and down the beach track. It's, you could do that.
You can't do the ride.
But can't do the ride, but
right, yeah. The run you can definitely do whenever you like. Yeah, a good race should allow you to race in somewhere that you wouldn't normally be able to train or run on it, I think. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the other triathlons here in Dubai, they're sort of done out the way, either on Deira Islands. Obviously, Mamzar's done in the same course every year down near Sharjah. It's quite rare to have quite a big city shut down for it, which adds to the atmosphere, I think.
So what is T100?
Yeah, so it's a new initiative launched by the PTO, who came onto the scene. Actually, PTO started as a
PTO, Professional Triathlon Organization.
Sorry, yes. They started as almost a union for triathletes, I want to say 10 years ago now, maybe a bit less. And it was around triathletes having a union to do what a good union should do, right? Which is make sure that standards are being met for athletes. It's to help fight for, probably on these guys' cases, more prize money or better well-being within the sport. And then it kind of evolved into becoming its own, it's called organization, but becoming its own brand. So they set up the PTO ranking system, mm-hmm. which ranked athletes racing as professionals in any races. So Ironman, Challenge, didn't matter, but they came up with their own system and then they launched their own race program. But when they launched their own race program, it was really for professionals only. And their sort of catch was, because they had big investment, that they could pay big prize money. And they started with something called the Collins Cup, which was a really fun initiative. Europe, USA, and I think rest of the world. Yeah, three teams, Europe, USA, and rest of the world. It's called a Ryder Cup style for triathlon, if you like.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they've done it twice. They didn't do it last year. But they made sort of triathlon fun, really fun and more like a team sport. But they've now evolved again into setting up this T100, which I would look at it as like a league. And they've pulled together and got 20 of the best male and female triathletes to sign contracts so that they're only going to race PTO this year. And they're going to race each other 7 times. And it finishes with a grand final at the end of November. And what that means is you've not got... So normally, traditionally...
So it's like 8 league games and then a...
and a final. Well, 7 league games. World Cup. Yeah, basically.
Oh, sorry, 7 and then the grand final. So 8 total in the season.
Yeah. And it means that the best will race the best consistently, which is so rare for triathlon. Normally, it comes at once a year or maybe twice a year. Because there's so many Ironman races, let's say, you can qualify for Kona in Brazil, or maybe they've qualified in South Africa, or maybe somewhere in Europe, or somewhere in the US. So there's so many races on every weekend that the best can dodge each other until they meet in Kona. Now, the guys who have signed the PTO contracts, they've got a... I think they can afford to miss a few, maybe, but I'm not sure how it works. But essentially, if they want to have the best ranking going into the grand final, then they have to race, or they want to get paid to earn their living, because they can't go and do an Ironman race and win that for their earning. They have to do the races.
It's big contracts as well with this, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's, I think the thing that jumped out, or everything that was on social media whenever I saw it was launched, was that the male and the female prize purse is identical.
Yeah.
So the women are getting compensated equally.
As it should be, right? Because, I think actually the women's triathlon is as, if not a little bit more exciting than men's in the moment.
And it's all so televised as well, isn't it?
Yes, it'll all be televised. PTO put loads of effort into their YouTube. Like you're talking about behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to get to see the athletes train, how they train, and their sort of personalities come through a bit, which obviously helps PTO, but it also helps the athletes showcase themselves. And then the locations of the races, which they're also going to be doing amateur races alongside, like they're really fun. So it kicks off in Miami, 8th to the 10th of March, budgie smugglers on, go wrestle some crocodiles down there. And I think that's, they use the, I think it's Daytona. So they race around the speed track.
Wow.
Really fun. Then they head over to Singapore, which was one of the latter races last year, actually, which will be quite fun to watch because it's a completely different setup to like Miami. I think a couple of people got sick down there last year.
I was going to say, all of these places are going to have very different climates.
The climate will be a bit different. And then they just announced, they don't know the date yet, but after Singapore, they head back over to the US to California. But they've just announced they're going to be piggybacking off Escape from Alcatraz. Yeah. So one of the most iconic triathlon races ever that's been going, must be 30 years. It will be the PTO race in California sometime, probably in May sometime. And if you don't know Escape from Alcatraz, you start in the prison, Alcatraz prison, and then you swim over the bay with the sharks.
San Francisco.
You've done a marathon there, didn't you?
Yep.
Your honeymoon.
It was my honeymoon marathon.
Yeah. You know what they got to look forward to. That's a really cool thing to have announced.
It's a very hilly run, that.
Very happy for them. Yeah, it's hard. London, 27th, 28th of July, which is going to be cooking over there. That'll be really fun to watch. London, again, it's like Dubai, when you shut down that big of a city for triathlon to take place, the atmosphere for it is going to be nuts. From London, they head to Ibiza, end of September. I've raced in Ibiza around that time. Weather conditions were not great, however they should be that time of year. I remember our start was delayed to like 2 p.m. because there was a massive storm going on. But Ibiza is a really fun place to race. Good course, typical sort of Spanish roads. And then the run is through the marina bit, like the harbour, which again, the crowd, the atmosphere there is really, really good. They then head over to Las Vegas for their October race, which, did you know the 70.3 world champs used to always be in Las Vegas?
I did not know that.
Yeah, up until like 2015. So Las Vegas actually has quite a big triathlon pedigree. So that's one of the reasons they've gone back there. Then they come to Dubai, 16th, 17th of November. And then there's a grand final at a non-disclosed location yet, 29th, 30th of October, of November. Any guesses where the grand final might be? So we're going to the USA, then over to Asia, back to USA, into London, then Ibiza, then back to USA, then Dubai, then?
I'm going to say Europe again somewhere. No?
I don't know. Thinking your maths brain might be able to figure it out. I'm going to say Africa, but
no.
Yeah, I don't know where that will be, but it'll be good. It's got to be, if it's November, right? It can't be anywhere too cold.
So. No, true. Moderate heat. So as a Joe Blogs, can you just go and sign up for these and you can race? I guess you don't race with the pro because it's closed course for the pro, which also makes it really exciting.
Yeah.
So the pros don't have to interfere or get interference with your age group athletes, which is a big issue in Ironman on the looped courses, certainly.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. These guys have a closed course. They get to race.
Yeah.
But if you're a Joe Blogs, how do you, is there a sign up? How do you get in? Do you need qualification?
Well, I only know, you can just sign up. I only know for like, for example, for Dubai, you sign up on a registration list and then when they open entries, you'll get notified and then you're able to enter, I think. And it looks like a first come, first serve basis. I don't know the numbers that they want to achieve, but obviously the income they get from athletes signing up will help support the organization and the prize money and all the marketing and everything they put behind it. So I'll assume that the amateurs will race the day before and then the pros will race the day after. That's quite a good way to get participants to watch. Normally, if the pros race the day before, viewing's not great because who wants to stand on their feet, you know, watching people race? Mm. So the best way to do it is let the amateurs race the day before and then let the pros race on the day, because then you don't mind you're happy to have a rest day or whatever and watch the pros go. So they might do it that way. I'm not sure exactly. It could be that they have a male and female day. And let's say, for example, the female pros go off an hour before the female amateurs. I'm not sure how they're going to work it, but there's definitely going to be 2 days on each race. So a weekend, basically, of celebrating how it works. And it'll just be very interesting. And once they announced this, Ironman then came out and announced that they were doing a pro tour series and they've put together a certain list of races that give you points in order to qualify you for Kona or for Nice. But it's interesting, a lot of the top ladies who are quick over the middle distance triathlon, because that's what T100 means. It's 100K, so 2K swim, 8K bike, 18K run. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the girls females who you would imagine would normally be going for Ironman stuff have come over because they don't have Kona this year and Nice doesn't mean the same to them. So the women's field is absolutely stacked. The men's is also really stacked, and it was surprising because it is a Kona year. But the older school Ironman lot, Patrick Langer, Lionel Sanders, and a couple of the other guys who you would traditionally say were old school Ironman athletes, they've stuck with Ironman because they obviously want Kona. That means everything to them, which is totally understandable. But the what I would call the YouTube athletes, which are the younger generation, the more famous ones, the Christian Blumenfelds, I might be speaking out of turn there, but like Magnus Ditlev, I think Sam Laidlow even has done it. These guys who are like the box office triathletes, they've come over and they said they're going to do the PTO series. Okay. So it's going to be very, very interesting to watch. I think this will be one of the biggest years for triathlon, either good or bad, but biggest years for triathlon we've seen in quite a while.
Just having a quick look on their website now, the Singapore race, you can register for all races on the 13th, 14th of April. The Ibiza race, you can register for all races. London is open for all distances in July. Vegas is interest, register interest. Dubai is register interest.
And it's such a fun distance to be going for.
Yeah.
It's not like an Ironman where some of your life has to go on hold. You know, 100K, same as a 70.3 training schedule, really. You can have fun there, like just train a little bit more than you would for an Olympic distance. The course, none of the courses are going to be too bad. I mean, maybe the California one, Escape from Alcatraz, will be, like you said, the run's pretty hilly there, but otherwise they're mainly city courses, which means fast bikes and fast runs. And yeah, you're flying into the city, you're staying in the city, you're racing there. None of this travel business.
What I love as well is actually you can register interest and participate as your amateur athlete in the grand final as well.
Ah.
You can register interest to race at the grand final.
I wonder if you have to qualify for that in some way.
We will confirm.
Good to know. So yeah, you'll be racing Dubai. We had, when it got announced in our triathlon group, I think it was like 15 to 16 people who were all like, I can't wait for this.
Yeah.
It like reignited some motivation that has been lost.
Skip, what I like about it as well is if you look at, maybe it might be a pinch point for some people, the pricing point for all of the races is consistent across the countries. So it's roughly probably about £250. It's about $300, probably about 1,500 dirhams.
How many yen is that?
I'm not on the Singapore.
40,000 Kenyan shillings.
A lot of shillings.
Yeah, it's so good. It's good to see. Long may it last.
Long may it last.
Excellent. Well, mate, you're nearly fast asleep because triathlon talk.
I got quite excited. I've registered my interest and nearly signed up to London whilst we've been recording this podcast.
New events mean new shorts.
Here's a question on this, actually, because it's not an Ironman, but it's long distance. Is it road bike? Is it triathlon bike? If someone is interested in doing this as their first ever triathlon, and there are short versions as well, what do they need?
You need a tri suit, some goggles, any bike that's working. I don't think they allow mountain bikes or flat handlebar bikes, so road bike or triathlon bike, TT bike, and then a set of run shoes. I mean, triathlon is just made complicated. It doesn't need to be. You can do it on minimal equipment if you want to. And the shorter distance means the fueling is less important. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to go into all this detail around. I mean, you do if you want to do really well, but for the amateur, it's 3 gels an hour. You'll be fine. Even 2. If you want to go super fast, then yeah, aerodynamics, top of the range bikes, especially on these city courses where the roads are smooth, figure out your tire pressures. Like, that's all important, but no, really you don't need a whole lot. And even, you know, I don't own a triathlon bike anymore, but this, like the Dubai race tempts me and I'll use my road bike.
Yeah.
But it's just racing in a place that you normally wouldn't be allowed to ride or run.
Yeah. It tempts me to hop back on the bike as well.
Oh, careful.
Drafting.
Careful. Excellent. By the way, if anyone wants to buy a stork frame.
Here we go.
There's one available. Mate, just back to our bread and butter. Rack Half Marathon is coming.
It is this weekend. Rack Half Marathon. New course. Are you a fan? Yes, no? Pending?
Yeah, I mean, the old one was pretty shit. Let's be honest.
It's not a picturesque course, but it was fast. It was a fast course.
Okay, yeah. It was fast. Now it's not going to be as fast. There's a lot of turns, but I mean, it wasn't basically a picturesque run anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
So instead of it being out along the main road and back in to Margin Island, it's now just all around Margin Island. I think better for spectating.
Like most of these local races, what makes them is the people that go. And yes, you get to see a really good group of pro runners going for world records and whatever on this course because they want it to be the world's fastest half marathon. But you'll see lots of the local community at this race, which I think is really special.
Mate, episode 200, guaranteeing success in endurance training. Purpose. It's not about the course. Like, we go and ride Al Qudra every weekend.
Every weekend and every week.
Yeah.
Twice a week.
Yeah, and it's not to do with the course. It's because you're turning up, showing up with a purpose, whether that is to be around your friends, good people, pushing yourself, or whether it's around trying to go for a time, a PB. But we'll be there. I'm actually going to run the first half with a client. And then the second half,
10K PB.
I'm going to go for a 10K PB.
Amazing.
Because I was going to do the 10K, but it starts too late.
Yeah.
So I thought, how can I make this better training for me for Xterra? So I was like, run the first half easy and then gas the second half, almost like a brick run.
And if you ran the first 10K and stopped, you're actually at the furthest away point from the start.
You have to get back.
You're
going to be there supporting.
Actually, I've managed to pick up a race bib. I will be supporting on course in carbons. I'm also running with a client for at least the first 10K.
What's their pace?
Slower than my 10K PB.
What is it?
It'll be probably about 5:15.
Oh, okay.
5 minutes a K.
A little bit quick for my bus. All right.
We can slow it down. We're there for fun and conversation. So maybe that's what we do.
Let's do it.
Oh, this is just.
I'm going to pace you to your 10K PB.
This is just taking a turn for the worse. I might pack a gel.
If you're there, come say hello and give us a shout. That's it. And the week after, we will be in Mussendam, pending border.
We'll get across somehow.
Mussendam for the Exeter race. And again, if you're there, please come and say hello. And there's no way she's listening, but the MC who asked for my hat from Muscat on Saturday, who's also going to be at Exeter, I'll give you a hat.
There we go.
Don't get in the mood this time.
There we go. Excellent. Thank you all for listening.